you're like less than $15,000 a month, you're in basically like this like odd point of survival mode where it's like, I just need to get X amount of sales, right? And that's a mindset that will fit you to a certain point. But there is a different point that if you carry that mindset from I just need to get another sale to I'm not looking just for a sale, I'm looking to create raving fans in my business. And that is the kind of initiative and like the goal. That's like the scaling. Because a lot of people, they really just pour all this time, energy, money into ads. And then they think that's how they're going to make their all their money. When really it's the ads scaling your new customers, which is scaling your whole base of your business through your email marketing, your SMS.
Yes.
And then you have consistent revenue over time that's predictable. And your ads is more that cherry on top.
So welcome to the Ecom Growth Show, where we cut through the chaos of ecom growth and show you how to build a business that scales and supports the life that you actually want. I'm your host, Brittany, former boutique owner turned growth strategist for ecom owners like yourself. And today I'm joined by co-founders of Shopanova and Bloom, Robbie Switzer and Danny Stafford. We created this podcast to pull back the curtain on what's really working to grow Shopify brands to consistent 100K plus months without burnout or guesswork. Whether you're getting traction or scaling fast, this show is designed to help you simplify, focus, and grow with purpose.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Ecom Growth Show. I'm excited today. And basically, if you've ever wondered why your brand isn't scaling as fast as you'd like, if you're tired of watching other businesses blow past you in revenue while you're stuck trying to make the numbers work, if you're pouring money into ads and not seeing the return that you expected, then you're going to want to listen up, because this episode is definitely for you. Specifically, I want to unpack five things that are basically like foundational pillars to every brand and their success. And so these are actually things that you need to be working towards getting dialed in even before you're working to getting your ads up and running and those kind of getting the return you want, because a lot of this kind of dictates whether or not that will be a successful journey for you. So just like diving right in, we're going to hammer through these. The first of the five foundational pillars that I've kind of outlined for you today is your product must have at least like a 60 to 70% gross margin if you want to scale profitably. There's a lot of times where, people have ads that are actually like they're performing in the realm of what's reasonable and what's sustainable, but the margins are so thin that you're actually having to get like double what's reasonable in order for that to pencil out. Brittany, I'm so happy you're here today and it's just the two of us, but I kind of just wanted to invite you in and share, you know, what has your experience been in terms of like coaching with brand owners, even running your own brand, and kind of like this topic of having good margins. In my mind, margins are the oxygen to any business. And if like you don't have that, you're either able to like fill up your lungs and run, or you're going to be like really suffering. But what are you kind of seeing in terms of like the need to really have good gross margins, ideally, you know, 60 to 70%?
Yeah, I feel like it gets tricky because the lower your margins, I feel like the less options you have a lot of times brand. Because working with a lot of boutique owners, typically the margins are a little bit less than 70%. And it gets kind of hairy when you're investing in new wholesale for the next quarter, for the next month. And then you're also investing in your ads and all these things. And sometimes it can feel like, where did all my money go? But a lot of times, if you go back and look at your margins, that's kind of like the root of a lot of the issues, amongst other things. But that can definitely be a core one. So it's so important to review and look at. For entrepreneurs listening, though, something I love to explore with clients very early on is increasing their prices. So it is just a gentle reminder, if you haven't done it this year, please review your pricing and see if there's a dollar or two or even more, depending on what you're selling, to increase your margins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of, we work with a headache rack company. They hadn't increased their margins in years, and or their pricing in years. And I was like, hey guys, like, the price of steel went up, your welding costs went up, all these things went up. Have you increased your pricing? They're like, no, we don't know. Da, da, da. So we wanted a very profitable Black Friday. And somehow what we did to kind of make it feel really good for their customers, but also have really healthy margins, because I like to protect that at all costs, especially during sales period, is we increased the price, but we negotiated the offer to feel better. But they actually had a more profitable Black Friday than ever before with higher sales just from tweaking their pricing and evaluating the margin. So super important. And I think it's even more important during a sales period.
It's so good. And it's funny because at the minimum, like inflation is happening every year. So yeah. At the minimum, like at least price your products to keep up with the inflation that's happening. But it's so like, I feel like this is such a big thing for brand owners. All around them, costs are rising, their cost to ship, their cost to import their goods, their cost to manufacture the goods, the cost of raw materials, the cost of labor, like all of these things are going up. And yet people feel so locked into like, this is the price I set. This is what my customers expect. This is what it needs to be. And they feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I feel like a lot of people think is if they raise their prices, all of a sudden their conversion rates are going to tank and people are going to stop buying their products. Their customers will be mad. I feel like it's so common, but so often you could add, you know, a couple bucks, $5, whatever to your average order value. And most people won't even blink an eye.
No.
And a lot of that becomes pure profit. And it'll actually like tip you into a zone where it's like, okay, I actually feel comfortable with my marketing spend because I do have profit coming in that I can reinvest.
I've had so many of these conversations, but I'm thinking of like, he does a direct-to-print hat and t-shirt sweatshirt company. And a lot of times I'm having these conversations before quarter four, because I'm like, hey, once again, like, hey, let's look at your margins. Let's look at your profit. And when we're, you know, putting an offer out there, let's make sure this is profitable. So you're not just having a high sales month, but you can actually like pat yourself on the back and make money in November, right? It's important making money as a business owner. So I'm working with him and he's like, you know, all my competitors, their hats were $3 to $5 more. And I'm like, okay, just increase your prices by $3. It's like, oh no, people are going to stop buying from me. I'm going to get, you know, hate mail. All this stuff, right? Melodrama, which is super common. This is not a new story. I'm just poking on this particular entrepreneur. And I was like, dude, just instead of slow rolling at a dollar here, a dollar there, just do the $3.
Yeah.
I go, I can guarantee you, you're not even going to get an email. No one's going to blink an eye. If they want the hat, they're just going to buy your hat. Okay, dude. And he did it. It took so much conversation to get there. We probably talked over it 3 times and went back and forth. He did it. And guess what? His sales went up. His conversion rate went up. No hate mail, like no negative comments.
Okay.
And it was just a really positive thing. But I've seen that time and time and time again. So I can't stress this enough. Reevaluate your pricing and then look to increase your pricing. It's more than okay. And you're more than worth it as an individual and as a business.
Yeah, 100%. And this kind of like piggybacks off of that directly. So gross margins is one thing. Again, you're aiming for 60 to 70% if you want all of these foundational pillars to be in line with the recommendation. It's so funny. Everybody thinks their only lever is like ads. And they'll be willing to dump a ton more money into ads, but not willing to problem solve on how to get better margins. Sometimes it's as simple as like, hey, manufacturer, hey, product supplier. Yeah. When we first started, like I was doing this amount of volume, 2 times that size. I'm 10 times that size now. Like, can I get a little better pricing based on the longevity of our work together and kind of like where I'm projected to go? And a lot of times, like you can just increase margins just with a simple email to wherever you're getting your products from. So there's margins, but then there's also kind of what we were hinting at, which is your AOV. So you definitely want your AOV to be above a certain threshold as well, because 70% of $10, like doesn't really make a big difference inside of your company. So what we're hoping for in terms of average order value is going to be kind of similar to like that 60 to 70% that we advise people on as far as gross margin goes. We also say $60 to $70 or so in terms of average order value. And that's just going to make sure that when you do make a sale, you're going to be covering some pretty basic cost to acquire a customer, because there's a certain amount of cost that's just involved with running ads and acquiring a customer. And it might be this, it might be $30 to acquire a customer. And that's probably going to be true whether you're selling a $10 product or a $70 product. So definitely work towards actually having your AOV on the higher end so that there is money to put back into the ads. And what you're doing is you're just getting everything to pencil out to where you can actually scale. I'm sure you have client examples. One that I think of right away, though, is there's so many cool and fun ways to boost this average order value and just awesome apps. One I was thinking about specifically, and we work with a lot of boutiques, is just like a simple pairs well with app, so that when they purchase, when they go and they add like a certain garment to their cart, there's going to be a complimentary product that pops up and says, hey, do you want to add this to your cart? Maybe you can include a discount for doing that. Maybe you don't even have to. But there was one that it was like a matching mommy and me upsell. And that, like, we installed that into the client's account, and it instantly, they were getting like 1.5 times the revenue off the same amount of ad spend. And again, that's like all profit. It's just all more revenue for the same amount of ad spend. So pretty powerful things. What are some of your favorite ways you've seen people boosting AOV inside of their store?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think a lot of times when we're solo entrepreneurs, we're sitting in front of our computer and we're like, okay, I hear all these terms. I need to like my profit margins and my AOV. And then I feel like we can just like overcomplicate it or spend hours with ChatGPT. And it's like, no, dude. Increase your pricing by a dollar or two.
Right.
Email your manufacturer, shop around and say, hey, can you price match? Just asking for like free shipping. A lot of boutiques I've worked with too, including myself, I thought you have to be this enormous brand to negotiate. No, it's about building relationships. So I just went really deep, and I encourage boutique owners or whoever, go deep in your relationships if you have wholesalers that you're working with and ask for discount or free shipping, etc. Just that alone, boom, done. You can increase your margins. It doesn't have to be complicated. With the AOV, the simplest thing to do is a Shopify app. So some that are really popular and that I typically advise for brands is Reconvert. It's an upsell and cross-selling app. There's iCart, Honeycomb, upsell and cross-sell. Reconvert, to me, is typically the most popular from what our brands use. But that's a very low cost, easy, just follow the guides to set it up in your Shopify. And it's like, boom, done. And it's thoughtless. It's very thoughtless as far as an activity. For a more thought forward activity, you can also, something I like to play with is your free shipping threshold. So if you want to increase your AOV by just a little bit, let's say you're chilling at $45, but you really want your AOV to be $60. I start playing around with your free shipping threshold being closer to 50. So people, it's just a small reach to get up, and they'll see their AOV creep up over time. I've had this multiple times over, and all they had to do was adjust their free shipping ad threshold, advertise it on their website, and they're up by $10 in their AOV. And they're like, it was that simple. And I'm like, it's that simple, guys. Like, don't overcomplicate it. It's just these small kind of like tweaks and finesses that can just make a huge, huge difference.
Heck yeah. Awesome. So the third foundational pillar is going to be a healthy repeat purchase rate. And really what we're talking about here is LTV. If you don't have repeat purchases, like if it's just really a one-off product, typically the businesses that are successful doing that have much larger AOVs, where it's like they're making all their profit on that one sale. So if you don't have repeat purchases, you want your AOV to be like upwards of $400, $500. And then it's like the transaction's closed, you've made all your profit, and you're able to scale. Now, a lot of people, they don't have AOVs that big. And so the way they're getting an opportunity to scale is by knowing that a certain percentage of the customers they acquire are going to purchase 2, 3, maybe 4 times again in that same year. And each time they do purchase, the ROI on that original acquisition cost goes up because you're reconverting those people with email. And we always tell people, like, use ads to get new customers and use email to reconvert the existing ones, because that's going to be free. It just doesn't cost very much to send an email. So from email, we're looking at, you know, 25 to 30% of your revenue coming directly from email. Similarly, you kind of want about that same percentage of your customers to be doing repeat purchases, kind of like that 25 to 30% of your customers making another purchase within a 12-month span. And that's just going to make sure that you have strong LTV and that you're getting more and more money from these customers the longer they stay, which again will fuel the whole marketing machine. So Brittany, when you're talking to brands, how do you talk to them and coach them about LTV from day one? Because a lot of people, they're not thinking about it right when they start. They think all the profit needs to be made the day the sale happens and the day that the spend it goes out. Work with people on that.
That's a great question. So I'm going to break it down into 2 stages. So first and foremost, anyone who's listening, log into Shopify right now. Click on the analytics, go to your 90-day viewpoint. At the top, it will say return customer percent. If it is below 20%, that is an instant like orange to red flag for me as a coach. So typically I like to see the return customer rate between 20 and 40%. You're like, Britt, how do I increase that? Send consistent emails. You're probably not sending campaigns and your flows are probably not integrated or working, or you don't even have them, right? So that's typically like the first, when I have a brand new client, I'm looking through their Shopify and I'm pinpointing what could be wrong in their business. That's one of the first things I like to check in addition to AOV and all the other things we're discussing. So that's part one. Part two of the conversation is thinking long-term game versus short-term game. If your mentality is a business, which originally it's going to be, if you're like less than $15,000 a month, you're in basically like this like odd point of survival mode where it's like, I just need to get X amount of sales, right? And that's a mindset that will fit you to a certain point. But there is a different point that if you carry that mindset from, I just need to get another sale, to I'm not looking just for a sale, I'm looking to create raving fans in my business. And that is the kind of initiative and like the goal. That's like the scaling. Because a lot of people, like you were saying, they really just pour all this time, energy, money into ads. And then they think that's how they're going to make all their money. When really it's the ads scaling your new customers, which is scaling your whole base of your business through your email marketing, your SMS.
Yes.
And then you have consistent revenue over time that's predictable. And your ads is more that cherry on top. But that's how you sustainably grow the business. But if you're just thinking, I need to get a sale, like that's only going to get you so far.
Mm-hmm.
But bigger brands, you know, $50,000 a month, $100,000 a month, they're not thinking of, I just need one more sale to make it. They're thinking, how am I creating raving fans? How am I creating a very healthy customer base to grow and expand in sales? So it's kind of like one, first of all, practically speaking, check your analytics. If your return customer rate sucks, you need to start doing something about that ASAP. And then secondly, it's like changing that mentality from that here and now to more long-term expansive.
Heck yeah. So good. And I'm glad our numbers aligned, because I was like, yeah, 25 to 30. And then that was right in the range that you said as well, because it is different for different product types and different brands. But I think in general, 25 to 35, somewhere in there, you can expect from your customers.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so fourth pillar is going to be, you just need something to make you different. You need like a unique product, maybe a unique brand story, just something that you can leverage across your marketing channels, your ads, your social media, that just makes you different. Because in a crowded market, like being the same is just, it's death to your brand. So you need to be able to communicate why you exist, who you serve, and what makes you different. And that's what's going to help you actually cut through the noise and make everything start to click. And it's not just like, this isn't stuff that is just for your about page that sits there and doesn't do anything. This is literally what will make people buy it or not. Like, it does need to be unique. And yet, I don't know if you've experienced this at all, Brittany, but I remember when I was working with a lot of newer brand owners, they were like trying their absolute hardest to be like somebody who's 10 times bigger than them. And they're like giving their best impression of somebody else doing a half-assed job. Obviously, it's like, why would anybody buy from like a wannabe who's not even as good as the original? Whereas on the other end of the spectrum, you see big corporations now, like they're all trying to make themselves look small because they feel like people connect so much more with super authentic founder stories and stuff like that. And so they're using all this UGC to make like big, big corporations more personalized. So Brittany, have you experienced that at all in talking with brand founders?
This. I think this is such a slippery slope all the time. Oh my gosh, I'm operating in my basement right now and I don't want anyone to know because if they knew I was so small, what if, you know, they judge me or what if whatever, or I have an operation in my garage or like I, you know, what if my neighbor thinks that my business is smaller than what it really is? Okay, so what? You know what I mean? And it's so cool. Like you're saying, these big brands are trying to be relatable and these small brands are trying to be these big brands. And I'm like, part of your secret sauce is where you are right now. And that's the most beautiful place you could be is where you are and communicating your truth and your story where you are. So we literally just had a client bring this up. She outsourced her creative to a third-party agency, and she is a female empowerment brand. And if you met this business owner, she's freaking incredible. I adore her. Her name's Jenny. If you met her, she's spitfire. She's energy. She's vibrancy. If you looked at her ad library, it says, you should get this. This is a gift for the girl in your life. So generic, so plain. The images look like Anthropology. Like the images look great. It's curated. It's a very high-end brand from her ad account. But is it in any way, shape, form, her voice, her essence, the thing that's going to completely separate her from the rest of the market? No. And when we had a conversation about it, her reason behind it with the delegating to the agency is, well, I didn't know marketing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not about that. You're missing it. It's not the buttons being pushed part. It's the your vibrancy part that's missing from the business and you pushing that out using the buttons and pushing the dials or whatever. But a lot of people think, oh, I'm not good at marketing, or marketing is this big expansive thing that's really confusing and I don't know. And there's all these gurus. Like, no, marketing is just expanding your relationship pool. It's just creating more connections. And you can't create more connections with some generic ChatGPT thing that some early 20-something-year-old is putting together on your behalf, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's so common too with boutiques. They, like if you have a brick and mortar, seems like more often than not, a lot of people shop there because of just the vibe you get when you walk into the store, the conversations you're having, and just even the culture that the employees have and the way they engage customers. Like it's a fun experience and it's trendy and depending on where you go, a very specific something going on.
Yeah.
That does not automatically transfer to your online store. You need to be very intentional about that. And you actually need to audit your store and your social media through the eyes of somebody that knows nothing about you and see specifically, is my personality and my culture coming through these digital assets?
Yeah.
Or am I just trying to be like a generic version of Anthropology?
Yeah.
It's such a big trap that people fall into. The other thing too that I was thinking about, and this might go a little bit outside of e-commerce, like if you're trying to pretend to be something you're not, like maybe you're the small brand wanting to be the big brand, or the big brand wanting to be the small family-owned startup brand, it's like any reputation that you try to put out to the world that's like not true is a full-time job for you to upkeep. It's like it takes so much energy And it's so stressful. There's so much freedom in just being like, yeah, this is where I'm at. This is exactly what we're going through. Here are my ups. Here are my downs. Here's what we're good at. Here's the things that we want to improve on. And like, you never have to like spend energy running multiple identities, which is a crazy thing to say, but there's so much freedom in just like putting it out there. And I think it really resonates with people.
I think it's kind of tricky though, because whenever I'm working with like a brand voice or brand identity or like, you know, exploring social media and video and all these things, I think people have this like identity crisis because it's like, well, who am I? If I'm not this persona, if I'm not Anthropology, if I'm not this or that, like, who am I then? And where you can get that information just by like, I think journaling and reflecting is really good. But then asking like your customers, your employees, your friends, like, hey, like, what kind of aspects are there, whatever, and bringing those more to light. But so many people are looking for their secret sauce outside of themselves. And I'm like, you are a major part of that, because you are a lot of times the identity in your brand for many owners, not everybody, but yeah. And a lot of times I'm like, hey, you're looking at it. It's in the mirror. It's not outside of yourself. It's just a matter of like being really cozy with being you and being online with it. You know, I think that's one of the bigger, yeah. This is kind of on track, a little separate from e-com, but I think a lot of us have like a being seen wound. So we have this fear of being seen and like what happens if like people see us or if we get exposure, like we just like automatically think the negative versus like, I'm just going to show up as myself and like, it is what it is. So what? So what if Sally, you know, 23 from Oklahoma says, I look this way or that way? Like who gives a, Sally 23 isn't even invested in your life. So who really cares? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
So good. Okay. Fifth and final pillar is you really want to have good products. Ones that when people get it in the mail, they are stoked and they're going to leave a 5-star review. I've seen brands scale with products that are cheesy, that don't last long, and the brands don't last long either. You really want to make sure that you're selling quality products. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't mean like there's still good products that exist that are also affordable. Like you're kind of like, that's your niche is affordable. But it's so, so helpful when it comes to scaling a brand if people are having an amazing experience with your products. And there's really just like no shortcut for that. Thoughts, Brittany? You agree?
100%. And then I'll just like add to it. Also, can you just like your product? Like one thing, an activity I like to do with entrepreneurs is you have like diversified SKUs or whatever. Like pick out your top 5 things that you like love. And it could be for like the silliest reason. I really don't care. Make a video about it and then have that as an ad. Yeah. So like an example of this is I always talk to clients about an opportunity for delight and surprise in your ad account, because we can give as much like coaching, direction, whatever, as far as what type of creative to make. But at the end of the day, like something could really take off and I wouldn't have ever imagined. But a great example of this is we were working with a boutique owner. She was obsessed with hydro mug carriers. They were like little purses for your Stanley mugs, right? Obsessed with it. She made a couple 6 figures from it.
Dude.
Right? She made so typically, like if I'm giving advice, it's typically like, hey, like make sure your videos are at least under a minute, ideally under 30 seconds. Da, 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 da. She had a 3-minute video of her excitingly opening up a box of these hydro mug purses. And that's what made her buku amounts of money. But it was just literally from her excitement about the product. So,
awesome.
Have great products, 100%. And like, be excited about them too. Like every time I've been like, when I had my boutique, anytime there was a launch, I was like super excited about that, just energetically like passed through. It was always my highest month when I was really excited. So I don't know, check in with your excitement about your products. If you love something, make a video about it. Doesn't need to be perfect. Just make a video why you like it and send it.
Yeah. And I love these because so often we hear from people like, ads don't work for me. My ads won't scale. I can never get the results for my ads that I need to grow my business. I can't scale my business. And it's like, okay, what am I going to do? New audience, different targeting, new creative. And it's like, yeah, maybe, but realistically, a lot of times what gives your business the ability to grow or not is whether or not you're hitting close to the mark on these five pillars. So to recap, good gross margins, 60 to 70%, which means you can spend 25% of your revenue on ads and still be turning a profit. A good AOV, you know, $60 to $70 there. Good repeat purchasers, so that every repeat purchase actually adds to your net profit. What was the fourth one?
Good creative.
Why am I blanking it? Unique product or brand story. So yes, creative, be different, be positioned well in the marketplace against your competitors. And then number five, good products. Products that people are going to spread word of mouth, products that they're going to recommend to their mom and their cousin, and that they're going to give a five-star review. And when you have those things in place, the marketing becomes easy and growing or scaling becomes easy as well. Any closing thoughts, Brittany?
No, that's all. We're just going to. I think this is a solid chat, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, guys, as always, thank you for being here with us today. I hope you found value in that. Let us know if you have any questions or if there's anything that you feel is foundational to an e-commerce brand's success. Let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts and what you're seeing. Until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ecom Growth Show, where clarity replaces chaos and strategy fuels freedom. If today's episode sparked any idea or gave you a clear next step, we'd love for you to subscribe, share it with a fellow brand owner, and leave a review so more entrepreneurs can grow with intention, not overwhelm. For more resources and real talk on scaling your Shopify brand the smart way, follow us on Instagram @ShopNova. Until next time, keep growing with purpose.